The Plumped Serpent is all about transformation through nature connection. My name is Isabel Bloom, and I love being out in nature and transforming myself. In this show, I and my guests share transformational journeys and insights, as well as simple tools and practices to transform yourself through nature connection. I believe that we can shift our being in every moment, and that we have infinite possibilities to choose from, and that life happens for us, not to us. Let's explore nature within and without. Welcome to the Plumped Serpent, and thanks for tuning in. Today, I'm very much delighted to have Floris Slob on the show. Floris is a coach who is using storytelling as a tool to guide people and to create awareness around reconnection with nature. He's also the author of Waking Up in Tiki's World, an extraordinary and inspiring autobiographic tale of personal growth, faith, and miracles, where he shares his personal experiences in New Zealand. Floris is still constructing his proposition to the world. Hello, Floris.
That's correct, Isabel. Hello. How are you doing?
I'm living.
You're living. Wow, yes. That sounds like you are alive.
Yeah, you know, there is much going on in the space, at least in my space, a lot of purification and letting go, and yeah.
Well, I think it's the right moment for this, no? According to the settings of the moon and everything else, we're in the right period of letting go a lot of things. Actually, yeah. I'm also trying to let go on a lot of things.
And it's why is that?
Well, it really felt natural to do so, actually. I mean, maybe it's also because my wife is currently not with me for the next 5 or 6 days. I mean, she's coming back tonight, but somehow I'm in a different space than with my family. And although I'm still with my son too as well, it's still very different. And I have much more time to think about myself and about things about myself. And I realize that sometimes I'm blocking myself from making a faster progress than that I want. So I actually came to the realization that I can take out those blockages more easily than I thought. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting period.
And it's also important for you because you're a coach. So you have pretty much, how shall I say that, consciousness about
absolutely
what is happening inside or within or without, and all these kind of interactions between people and situations and places.
Yes, and I guess I guess as a coach, I mean, I'm quite conscious about it. In particular, at the moment, I am coaching somebody. But I also admit we're also human beings trying to live a life, right? And sometimes we live easier than other moments. And I'm definitely not analyzing my family situation on a continuous basis. I'm living with them. But I do realize quickly my reactions when I think they carry too much value of any kind. Then I always wonder afterwards, immediately, hey, where is this coming from? You know, and I pull myself back. So yeah, you're absolutely right about that. As a coach, yes, I am aware. I think I'm pretty aware. I have been aware also when I was not a coach. I think that's the reason why finally I made it to a coach. But this is what I try to tell you, you know. I think I should have been a coach probably already 20 years ago or so.
Maybe you were one, but you hadn't the title.
Yeah. Exactly. Maybe some people already learned a lot from me without realizing that. But I mean, you only now I give it a title because, you know, in society we have to have diplomas and certifications in order to show who we are, not just by what we are doing. You know, I mean, so I'm a certified coach now at the moment, and I'm not having a lot of clients yet. I didn't look for clients yet. So far, the clients came to me, and this is what I like the most. And and it's an interesting journey. But for me, the hardest part is why I'm still, you know, you said in your introduction that I'm still working on my proposition to the world. I have a big background in information technology, basically, although I always knew that information technology was not my thing. The life that I was living thanks to information technology was definitely my thing. So I lived on a number of places in the world, but at some stage I realized that freedom comes from within and not from the things you do on the outside. So although it helps you not to become attached to too many things, which also helps in creating freedom to travel so much and to buying and selling your stuff all the time, or just giving it away. But at the same time, I'm trying to now to really change my life where work is included, and that work should become more of a hobby. Basically, I mean, for us, I'm coming from a generation where we were educated in finding a work that pays well, and or at least pays, and put some bread on the shelves, and maintain everybody that you need to maintain. And I come to the realization, I did that the day I started to work, but I really come to the realization now that it's better to really try to make a profession out of a hobby than anything else. So therefore, I'm in the process of transition. And what I came to realize is that I love humans. As much as I hate them, I love them. Basically. And I do think that with the life that I have been living so far, the experience that I've had, that I would be able at least to share my story. Hence the reason I wrote my first book. And some people that are more interested in that also, to guide them, to help them, to support them, to becoming better human beings for themselves. And in my perception, nature plays a role in that. I don't know exactly how big the role is, but since we are all nature, since we are part of all living, I think that is already the biggest realization that human beings sometimes need to have. And then how can you realize it? How can you make that happen? There's lots of different ways. I mean, you as an expert, you would probably
I'm know. Not an expert. I don't call myself an expert. You know,
No, I did.
Yeah, but you know, this whole kind of perception of being an expert, this is kind of, in my view, very old school, because everybody of us is kind of, knowing something. And
what we know, right? What we know.
Yes, and there is a kind of difference in depth, maybe, of this experience or this... Yep. Yeah, this knowledge, so to speak. But we can share what we know, and people can make their own conclusions about the sharing. But for me, there is really a deep shift going on many levels. And you said, for example, that you come from a generation where you needed diplomas and a work where you could earn good money, and This is also shifting.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, your experiences you had in New Zealand, you shared in your book, Tikis or World. When I read your book, it was so lovely, you know, how this whole experience is unfolded for you. I mean, it's autobiographic. So yes. It's about your story. Tell our audience a little bit more how this whole, I mean, you had really a very deep transformation of your perception yourself, about energy, about connection with the whole world, about the connection with other humans. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, for just for people that may be seeing this later or listening, I think what is important to know is that, yes, I was a very skeptical person in my 20s, late 20s still. I really didn't believe anything what I couldn't see or taste or hear or whatsoever. I had really difficulties with that. And in my late 20s, the first time I actually got an experience that I could not understand, that was after I graduated from my second master's. And I was astonished by that I tried to redo this. So I said, but what happened first? This. Okay, now I need to do this, and then I need to do this. And then, bam, magic happens again. But it didn't. And I was so disappointed. I still didn't understand the concept of magic. I guess that it is magic when it happens, and we cannot plan magic to happen necessarily, that we should just accept when it does. But then, yeah, at some stage, that was it. And then I started to travel more to other countries. And at some stage, I arrived in New Zealand. And the book and my life there really started, where I tried to get foot on the ground in New Zealand. I already arrived there with a job, very fortunate job for me. But at the same time, I had difficulties. For the first time in my life, I had difficulties in connecting with the people that lived there. And somehow they were very distant, and whatever I tried, my jokes did not work. And I mean, as you hear, I have no difficulties in sharing things or talking. I'm very easygoing. And yet nothing really happened. And at some stage I was going out with a neighbor, and I met this guy in a bar. And in the book, his name is Tiki. And he is a native Maori. And we started to chat, and he thought I was quite arrogant West European guy. And because I made all the mistakes one can make. Because I had to emphasize I was paying for all the rounds that we were having and so on. And at some stage he said, you know, I have been observing you and now chatting with you. And he told me that we're supposed to meet. And I said, yeah. I said, this is funny, but you just want to have another beer, you know, and you make yourself interesting. And, you know, all these thoughts came right away. What kind of a guy is it? But then he started to share some things that, for somebody who just met, I mean, it was really impossible to know. And he said, but you know, just forget about it. Maybe we stay in touch, and maybe we see each other again. Or if you want to meet me again, this is where I work, in this coffee place. I'm the barista making the coffees there, and we can hang out. So I became friends with this guy, just to make a long story short. And as a West European versus the native Maori person, we came really from worlds that were so different, and especially he was like a traditional Maori person. He really held his own traditional culture very high. He lived very, very close to it, as opposed to modern Maori people in New Zealand. They have really adjusted very badly to the modernization of the white people coming into their country. They have a lot of social problems and violence as well. But this man, he was really living with nature. He was really living with the energies, and he was really determined to show me his world. And at first I said, well, I'm not sure if I'm ready for that, but apparently I asked for it. That was also a nice conscious change of thinking. I said, yeah, but you know, you must have been asking for this for a long time, because this is such a strong connection. How else is it possible that we meet? I said, okay, but if I ask for it, maybe you also ask for something. And in the end, it appeared that he was very insecure in society. He tried to avoid the city because he just get crazy of people. Oh, how much he likes them, he actually cannot stand living with them. Because in his words, human beings are so ignorant. They do not see what harm they do to one another, not just with words, but also with their thoughts, with everything. So he became to me a very fascinating person where I thought I could learn a lot from, but at the same time, I could also see how I could at least help him to become more confident of himself while he was walking through the city, while he was having jobs, because it was a guy who could not stay for more than 2 months in a normal job. And the normal job was just a bartender making coffees or serving people. So it was an interesting story. And so where it all started was that he slowly took me into his world of weaving as well. He was a master weaver. So he took me to the places, to the areas along the coastline of New Zealand, where the New Zealand flax is growing, and where he started to say, listen, before we cut the flax, I need to make a karakia. I need to make a prayer. I said, but why is that? I said, well, it's protocol. I said, but what is protocol? You know, I said, well, basically our Maori people, we first honor the gods for whatever it is that they're going to provide to us. Yes, you're taking it, but still you're asking the permission. And you do that in several layers. You go to the highest god, and then you go to the smaller god, and then you go to the actual flax, the New Zealand flax tree or bush, that is going to provide the actual material to you that you need in order to make something, a basket. As long as it has a purpose, you will always get that permission, and you can always freely take it as much as you need, not as much as you can need to overconsume like we do in supermarkets, but as much as you truly need. So I was very fascinated by that. So to who are you going to make the prayer then? I said, well, in this case, I'm going to make a prayer to a very ancient god, because the Maori people have been weaving baskets and all kinds of material for centuries already. So this is a very ancient god, and it's part of the god that supervises like the forest, the bush, everything that is green. And eventually I go to the flax, and I'm asking also the flax the permission. And I basically thank the flax. I thank the flax to sacrifice itself for me to be able to make my basket, in which I can use for gathering seafood or gathering other things, whatever it is that I need this basket for. I said, oh, wow. I said, that's really, really amazing. And then one of those next days, we went to a place up north Auckland where we were going to gather some cockles, the shellfish. The Maori people, they really live with the sea and from the sea and for the sea. So, and they are surrounding by there in New Zealand too. So that was very fortunate. So he said, why don't we go for some cocoa gathering? I said, yeah, sure. I mean, I love everything. So, and there the same thing happened. He said, but before we go, we make a prayer. I said, so, and okay, I didn't want to sound smart. I said, so we're going to make a prayer to the God of the ocean then, or the spirit of the ocean. I said, exactly, you got it. and now we're also going to make, you know, a prayer to the cockal animal that is going to sacrifice its life for us. Exactly, this is it. And it may sound stupid. It sounded very, very weird for me at first. Let me say weird. I don't want to use the word stupid before so insignificant as a cockal or as a piece of grass. Although it was very tall grass, like sometimes higher than 2 meters, it was still grass. And yeah, the connotation that it had in my world, that was, yeah, okay, we are the humans, we are on the top of everything. And it sounds very stereotyping, but this is truly what I believed. It was not so much a strong belief, but it was something that was educated to us. But I also realized very quickly, I actually feel very good in giving this attention that we supposed to have. And then he came with this huge revolutionary sentence already. He said, do you know that you're actually part of nature? And I said, And I said, well, I think I know. I think that. But we are just simply, you know, we all know, I think, because we all learn that officially we are also some type of animal. I don't know the name in English, but yeah, we are the same as lots of other animals that bring that deliver babies directly from the womb of the mother. Mammals. Yeah, yes. Sorry, I just didn't. It was here on the top of my tongue. So yes, I think we all know that, but we never learned in any possible way how to deal with that. And for sure, I can see now how disrespectful we are, because we just take. We just have supermarkets full of all this delicious food. And I'm wondering who is praying for that. You know, I mean, it was... that was one of the big things, I think. That was one of the prerequisites for me to move on to all the other experiences in the book and also in my life. It was really to create the connection with nature first. And even when I talk about it now with you, I always have goosebumps, you know, because it made such a huge impact in my life. Maybe so simple for people that grow up in the country where the parents, they are farmers or not, or they have cows and they already deal with animals. There must be, I assume this now, I don't know, but maybe there must be at least so much more relationship with nature anyway, or people even here in Switzerland that grow up just in the mountains. And having this mountain lives in the villages. I mean, I've met some people, and at least they are much more in tune with the dangers of nature and the beauty of nature. And yeah, I think I like that very much, and I would like that everybody would have such an experience when they do this. And I think one of the things how we can do that is through sharing our story. And through really taking the time with a person, one at a time, maybe 6 at a time, maybe 10 at a time, but not more than that, maybe, to actually start doing this type of activities. And this is part of my proposition for the world, potentially. This is one of the things that I really want to achieve, is to get into some more retreats and to actually... see if people would be interested to do this with me, and where I could hopefully transmit some of the knowledge that I build up in the past and that I'm still reading in as well, to actually use in making people more grounded. Because also here in Switzerland, I mean, I'm living in a little village very close to the canton of Geneva. There's a lot of expatriates, a lot of NGOs, a lot of foreigners. And it seems they all have a pretty easygoing, smooth life. And when I'm dropping my son off in the morning at school, and usually I make a walk, there's right away like a landscape of farming and then a forest even starting. And I love to go right away into the forest, but it will take 10 minutes. And before I arrive in the forest, now that it's not so cold anymore, it's already 4 degrees, I often take off my shoes and my socks and I walk bare feet through the borders on the land. And I do this, obviously, I mean, I'm pretty sure you know why I do that, but maybe other people might not, but I purely do this for grounding and just to get the toxins out of my body. It's not spiritual, it's not anything, it's just natural. It's something that actually is proven. This is the most fastest and easiest ways to get rid of the toxins in your body and to give it back to the earth. And yeah. I really feel better afterwards, maybe because I believe it, but sometimes people are passing by and they don't even dare to ask me anything. And I have to laugh about it. Sometimes there's actually somebody saying, "Oh, wow, what are you doing? Were you too warm, sir?" I said, no, I'm just grounding, you know, with my feet on the ground.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. And they quickly continue with their dog or whatever. I mean, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, this experience simply shows how far away most people are from their own being. It's just, well, I mean, it is so natural to be barefoot. It's just natural. I mean, we have our feet and we can walk with them. And but yeah, we have so many. How shall I say that? We have put so many barriers between ourselves and nature. And,
yes.
And one of them are shoes, or also clothes,
exactly.
Or clothes, or sunglasses. So, there are so many examples of this. And it is kind of, for me, it is kind of, yeah, sometimes. I don't know. Yeah. I scratch my head sometimes. Yeah, but
yeah,
I've grown up, you know, I haven't grown up on the countryside. So I've grown up in the agglomeration in this suburban environment in a building with several apartments, and I didn't have this connection with nature naturally. Yeah, we went a lot outside with my mother, and we went to the lake and to the forest and so on. But yeah, this kind of connection came later when I realized, wow, how far away am I?
Yeah,
and I have
but
to.
But I think this is it.
Go
right?
back.
I think
you
this
know?
Is it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also thought, I mean, for me, it came through work, basically, right at the moment. I also didn't want to study, for example. I mean, I did high school, and after high school, I really knocked on the door of my parents and I said, "Mom, Dad, I really would like to travel now. I really would like to see the world." But they did not allow me. I said, no, you have to study. I said, "But I can always study." I said, no, but you should study now. You finished your high school. And with the high school that I did, I could go straight for master's degree. So I said, you have to do that. And afterwards you go to work and you're going to, you know, this is how it goes. This is what works. Yeah. But I remembered as a student when I started to study, I said, this is what everybody is calling to study. This is what everybody is saying, wow, this is a great time in your life. So, well, for sure, it's not the studies itself that really makes me tick, but it was more, yeah, growing up. I left my parents' place. I started to live with some friends. And yes, we had a great time. And I worked about 40 hours a week next to my studies to be able to do all the nice and social stuff with students, what students do. But I never really liked my study. It was more or less chosen by my parents because I didn't know. I had no clue what to do. I didn't want to, really. Mm. And then after those studies, I had two options, or to go in the military service or to try to get out of that. And I managed to stay out of it because of my weak ankles that I had. They actually were weak enough to stay out of military service, so for which I was very grateful because I got those ankles by saving the boy, or by saving the life of an English boy during my holidays at some stage. And then I neglected it, and I should not have, but I did. So it was it was a payback time for me now. At least this is how it felt. Mm-hmm. And then I continued to study, and I said, okay, I'm not going to work. I can't work. I mean, I don't like the idea of doing what my dad is doing, really, with all respect for what he has done for us and all the sacrifices he has done in his life for his family. I said, no, I really, really need to keep studying. So I tried to find something that I could like. So I went into social science and behavior and national cultures and the impact of cultures on doing business. Okay, it was still related to business, but it was actually more about the relationship of people. And that is the life that I started to have thanks to information technology. So I was very grateful about it, really. But with me, it came more through work. I said, work is not good for me. Work to work, because how the concept of work was presented, that you have private life and you have work, right? And when you don't work, you should have holidays. So because work is tiring, right? I mean, it's so ridiculous. You know, if we talk with like-minded
it's crazy.
People, we have to laugh, we have to smile. It's bloody so ridiculous. Yeah. Why do we need to do this? You know, and it's not that I'm against work. On the contrary, I'm working all the time. I'm feeling, but what is work? Is work only something and what you get paid for, or is work something, some activity, what you do with your brains or with your body? I mean, that is work as well in my eyes, and it should never be separated from the rest of your life, because we're all inclusive, right? So I mean, it's. Yeah, it's funny. So this is how I started, I guess. And despite the fact that I was skeptical, somehow deep down I must have known it all along, because when we are growing up, we know everything. We don't have the means to share it with other babies in the crèche, or we don't have the means to share it with our parents, how wise we are, and that we don't want to go into this phase of our lives where they're going to put a barrier and another and another and another to disconnect us from something that we are not. And so, yeah, one finds it very easily and quickly, and the other one takes a little bit longer. But if we are curious enough, we will find it. And I think if I look around here, there's a lot of potential for my retreats, if I get to get one. But are the people aware of it? That is a second thing. I mean,
yeah,
it's very interesting. But I'm very grateful, at least, that I met this guy in New Zealand, and we're still best friends. I mean, we still talk every couple of months, but at least for 2 or 3 hours or so. Yeah. I mean, it's really amazing. And I mean, I'm very grateful that I made this journey. And after nature, I mean, we had the story about the energies, the invisible world. This was something really mind-blowing. I mean, that I couldn't believe in, actually, how we are all connected as human beings. And basically, yeah, if you see now what's going on in the world with Russia, Ukraine, but also all the other countries that are continuously in conflict with one another, if they would truly have a realization about where they're coming from and how we are interconnected, everybody would see that nothing of this makes any sense. That hurting somebody else is in any way justifiable for taking back land or something like this. I mean, they hurt themselves. They have no clue that they are hurting themselves by hurting somebody else. I mean,
yeah,
that is
sure,
that
sure.
Is...
But yeah, we don't know what is happening there. But yeah, this is something. You know, this exchange of energy on many levels, just this consciousness comes back slowly. People are realizing that there is more, also thanks to science in some way. I mean, quantum
yes.
physics like opened up the minds again, that there is something more than just what we perceive with our senses.
Isn't that incredible, though, that we realize?
Yeah,
it's
fascinating
to
because
prove it to ourselves.
Yes, it's fascinating.
It's inside us.
Yeah. But you know, we are kind of it's fascinating because people are kind of trained just to believe only in science and only
exactly.
in things that are proven. So science kind of opened up this door again. So this is kind of interesting. So the circle is closing kind of. And yeah. But I mean, you have the best tools for this kind of experiences you want to bring into the world so that people can open up to nature, open up to energies, and open up to themselves also, to the world within. Due to your experiences you've made. So you have a very good foundation ideas.
I'm learning every day, but I have too many ideas at the moment.
One after the other.
Yes, I mean, I do. I mean, I really enjoy Switzerland, not in the last place that somehow we are entitled as well to be unemployed, and when we have been employed, and this is really helping me as well to actually find my way, because I'm still, our family is not traditional in any way. My wife is her own entrepreneur, but she's starting up with her natural products. I think she's doing great, but yeah, I'm the only person that financially takes care of the family at the moment. So there's no stress, there is no force at work where I feel like I have to find it. I'm really trying to find like a pragmatic way how I can make this shift. And I think I started by writing my book a couple of years ago, and now it's phase two. Now I really need to start finding something where I'm only working with people that are in transformation, people that are in change, or people that look for change. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to translate that in a little bit of a pragmatic way as well, in order to make sure that I start to like much better the work that I'm doing, that I have been doing, and I also actually start feeling that I'm helping people and supporting people. So that's one of the core reasons why I did a certificate of coach as well, so that I can integrate that into my next project activities, also for organizations, not just for individuals, but also for organizations. But I would like to be able to do, you know, I would like to continue writing. I would like to do retreats. I would like to serve organizations with the knowledge that I have one way or another. And I would like to serve individuals. I mean, these are my four boxes at the moment. And they should all be for serving others. If they would like to know something, if they feel trapped, if they feel stuck, I mean, I would like to give it a go and try to help them. I think that's the most important thing for me to do. I come to that conclusion. I've come to discover also something that I'm extremely sensitive for the emotions of others. Sometimes during coaching conversations, I start to cry before my client starts to cry. I mean, it's really ridiculous, but it's just me. I mean, you get all of me. You get me. You get all of me, and I just feel very strongly what's happening to people sometimes. And also, it's very overwhelming for me if I get a couple of news at the same time. And these are dear people close to me that are suffering or that die or something like this. I'm really emotional, but I can no longer hide it either. I've opened up so much to everything that I think I am that you get it whether you want it or not. If you don't want to see that how a man is becoming emotional or crying, I mean, then you have to just you have to switch off. I mean, that's basically the deal. And I even see that in companies in my last work that I still did. Sometimes I just had it. I show myself and said, but why are you crying? I said, well, I just off the phone and this is what's happening in my life. And since you're asking, since you're interested, so this is it. And some of them, intelligent enough to actually respond to that. But some people, they have no clue how to respond to a crying man in a suit or not. It's hard for them, you know. And but this is, I really have accepted me and from that perspective as well. And thank goodness I'm also in circles where people actually admire that, you know, because also there you see from the past, at least I can see from the past, for sure I should not cry. Don't cry. You're a strong boy.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Well, in this day and age, I think it's quite a quality to be able to show that to for an audience if you need to and still continue. I mean, nothing changed. You just show your emotions, right?
Yeah, that's part of our being. It's one aspect of our being. That's true, yes.
We should not block that off either.
Coming back to a kind of wholeness is the key, I guess. All these kind of aspects and puzzles and just, bring them together and... Yeah, let's just be what we are, and it is different, it is unique, but that is also the interesting aspect. I mean, otherwise we are all the same robots.
But it's true. I mean, and this robotic life, I think this is really what bothered me from day one.
Yeah.
When I started to work, you know, and I think, no, we should not do that. I always try to share private things at work. And in some countries, it's very easy.
Mm.
Other countries, it's very hard. Like here in Switzerland, it was very, very hard.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, even here in my work, I was forbidden by my manager, by the first job that I had in Switzerland, to sing. Can you imagine?
Okay.
I was singing.
Wow.
And I said, you know, I think I have to share this with you, Mr. Manager. I said, I think you are the first person ever in my life, after all these years of working on different countries, in different countries, you forbid me to sing. I think... You deserve to know that, you know. Of course, that didn't work so well for me. But you know, I don't mind. I was really honest in that too. I was not rude. I was still respectful. But I said, but you deserve to know that.
Mm.
I think it says a lot about this situation. And it says a lot about what you are and what you are not. And it says a lot about what I am and what I am not.
Yes, sure.
You know, there's no differentiation there, but I was really, really, really surprised about it.
Wow. That is quite something. Yeah.
Yes.
So, when you have one thing you'd like to share with the audience about allowing transformation to happen, because you have such a rich experience in your own life about making transformations and allowing them also to happen. What is your suggestion?
Well, just being a human being and trying to transform yourself, is that the proposition, or wanting to transform yourself?
So the
is that
will,
the proposition?
The will, yeah, the will is the kind of starting point for you.
Well, I really, no, it's before the will where it started. It was more a question to you, just for me to understand the beginning point of the human being. But I would say, if I look at my own life, I totally believe that everything unfolds at the right time and for the right reasons. So first of all, I would like to share, I mean, that any human being that goes through transformation or wants to go through transformation or maybe is stuck and doesn't know how to transform or even want to transform, curiosity, I think that is one of the core things in life that actually makes us want to do or see or feel or hear something else. Mm. It's curiosity. So I would say, be curious and play with that curiosity, because I think playing is the other kind of thing. If you truly would like to hear something else, you hear a person saying something to you, but what this person is saying are just words. What is this person really saying to you? Right? I mean, in order to be, if you would have that curiosity and the playfulness to actually look at the words and look at the person, if this person is standing next to you, maybe you can find something different, especially if you are being heard, or especially if this person makes you uncomfortable, something like this, you would be able to see maybe this person is very uncomfortable and that the reason why this person is talking to you in this particular way has nothing to do with who you are as a human being or what you have just done or in any kind. Maybe it's just some words spoken to you for this person to feel better about himself. Hmm. We don't know, but without curiosity and without the playfulness to look at the situation from different angles, it's very, very, very difficult, I guess. And the one thing that I'm extremely grateful of from my father in particular, because when I was a little child, I mean, I, like other little children, sometimes we have the intention not to want to eat something or not to want to try something. He really invited me at least to be open. He said, maybe for the wrong reasons, but he invited me at least to be open. And this is what I really took on board for me consciously, because it also helped me to survive and to thrive in other countries, because I lived on four continents. And I promise you this, if you live for years in a different country, if the food, you cannot deal with food or whatsoever, you cannot live there. It's becoming very, very, very hard. So in order to be open for other cultures, for other food, all those things, I mean, just to try things, just a little bit at a time. And if you didn't like it, try it again after a few years, try it again, because maybe things have changed inside you. Like when you don't like as a child olives when you're 8 years old, but suddenly when you're 20 years old and you're drinking a cold beer, and you taste an olive, it's suddenly, wow, this is amazing. It could be a good taste. Yeah, you know, we are all evolving every day. We're never the same. Every day we have the option to be an open and curious person. And with that openness and with that curiosity, I think that's and also the acceptance, of course, from where we are right now, I think these are the best ingredients to actually start making the change. And as a coach, I mean, I would also say, because I have some people that are saying, yeah, but you know, I want to do this. I said, so, but where do you think you are now? And so they are in between two points. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, you know, 10,000 kilometers away, this second point. Mm-hmm. I said, well, why don't we start with cutting it up in little pieces? Why don't we start to go to a point that is much closer by and start to do it from, you know, and start to look at what this means. And then let's start to see what the difference is between those two. And then let's start to work on that, how to get to this point. And when that is achieved, okay, let's start to see where we can go now, because this is the end game. Hmm. You know, so yeah, I would say, first of all, accept yourself. So that's, I think that's one of the hardest things to do, but or accept the situation you're in. If you don't accept that, I think it becomes very, very hard already for start going into a change or transformation mode. But openness and curiosity, they are definitely the ones that can give you the catalysator, you know, for actually start making the changes.
Yeah. And you also described this very beautifully in your book, I remember. Yeah. Yeah, so all the listeners out there, if you're looking for a very nourishing, uplifting, and inspiring book, get Tiki's World. You will find it.
Can I show it? I mean,
yeah,
I can
sure.
Show it for 2 seconds.
Yeah, you can also show it.
I mean,
it, yeah.
this is the book.
Yeah. Yeah, I will post a link to the book in the description. Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we are almost an hour talking. So where can people get in touch with you when they'd like to have you as a coach or like to know more about you?
Well, they can contact me for sure on LinkedIn. I have two different LinkedIn accounts, one as an author, so and one as a coach and a consultant. So you can easily find me under my real name. I think if you search for Flora Slop, you will find two people on LinkedIn. Well, more than two maybe, but two of them are me. at the moment I wrote my book, I decided to separate that. And this other account was a very old account that I kept, but that I transformed into what I'm doing now. Not to lose my entire network, but that my network is aware of it if they would like to be. So they can find me there. And apart from that, I'm not having a website yet. First my proposition that needs to be clear before I would create that. But I do have also a Facebook page, also under the name Flores R. Slop. With the book, only things related to the book, and that's it. And otherwise, through you, you're more than, if somebody would come to you and ask about me, you can give me you can give them my email address if you feel. I mean, that's okay.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much for this.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity.
Yeah,
I loved it. I enjoyed it very much.
Talk. Yeah, I mean. You know, it's always easy with me. Easy with me to talk. So, yeah, nothing to worry about.
Well, I was not worried. I was curious, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was open, I hope. I hope I was open enough.
Yeah, sure. Everything is fine. Everything's perfect.
Very good.
Thank you very much, Floris.
Thank you very much, too. And we catch up through the big wide web, right?
Yes, as a lot of people do nowadays. Thank you for support of this podcast, which is about transformation through nature connection. And as it is with transformations, they bring change. Also, as far as this podcast is concerned, because I have decided not to produce any more episodes. It's been a joy for me, but it's no longer in alignment. In any case, I thank all the guests who shared their experiences and tips with me. May they have inspired some of you to look at the inner and outer world with different eyes and to approach things differently. May the magic of the plumped serpent be with you.